Sigler Ministries, sharing the good news. Gary teaches practical lifestyles, with his main thrust being to reveal the Father heart of God toward humanity. May God richly bless you in your quest for a true spiritual life.
Somebody about, I guess 5 years ago, as a joke, started calling me Bishop. And it just stuck with everybody. It's really not a bad word. But if you're using it as a badge, because a bishop is strictly an overseer.
Yes.
I mean, you can be a bishop.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what religion has done with even the areas of ministry in the church. You see, if you're walking in the light and God speaks to you, you can be an apostle. Yeah. You don't need an ordination. You don't even need to go to Bible school.
Yeah. Amen.
If God speaks to you to go to an area and raise up a church, you will at that time function as an apostle.
Amen.
And we're all prophets,
yes,
but not in the sense that religion will teach you, because a prophet is not someone who necessarily tells the future or reveals to you your inner being, the intents of your heart. A prophet simply means someone who speaks forth the word of God.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be anything to do with the future or revealing somebody's, you know, spiritual position, but just to speak forth.
Amen.
But religion has taken these functions and made them like badges of honor. I was at a, this is not very nice, but I did it. I was at a conference one time, and this brother came up to me and introduced himself, and we talked, I don't know, probably for a half hour. Finally, he said, I should have told you, I'm a prophet, or an apostle, I think he said. I said, well, I'm glad you told me, because I'd have never guessed. But you see, whatever you are will be manifested by your being.
Amen.
You should never have to tell someone,
yes,
what your function is.
Amen.
Because if they don't recognize it,
it's
no good anyway. I'm going to regress just a little bit because of what Ron shared earlier. I'm going to go back to that verse in 1 Corinthians that tells us not to act like Moses.
That's right.
Moses put a veil over his face so the people could not see the vanishing glory that was on him. And I still ask that question, why did he do that?
Yeah.
Yet I can tell you we do it all the time. We do. We put a veil over our face. How do we do that? Well, the main way we do it is believing the Old Testament is the Word of God. And that's why it says here, their minds were blinded, for until this very day, this veil remains untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Why is that? Because if you read that and you believe that's the Word of God, I feel sorry for you. That's not the God that I know. That's not the God of unconditional love.
Yes.
And I toiled with that for, I can't tell you how long I toiled with that thought. Until one day I read, the law came by Moses.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the law came from.
Yes.
In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the law came by Moses, but grace
and truth
came through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What does that say?
Yes.
Absolutely.
What do you want? You want to live under the law of Moses, or would you rather live under the grace and truth of Jesus Christ? Now, if you trace those words back, the root words of grace and truth, one of the root words of grace is enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And truth means reality.
Yes.
So how do you get in God's presence? Not by reading Moses, but by enjoying God, enjoying the spiritual life, enjoying the worship, enjoying the music, enjoying all the things that come from the Spirit. It's by enjoyment that you progress spiritually, not by trying to do something.
Yes.
I'd like to see any of us be able to live as Jesus lived on the earth. And most of us can't do it because we still think we're human, living a human life. But you're not a human. You're a spiritual being. And as a spiritual being, life is not a performance, it's a flow.
Yes.
Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of life. Now, if life is flowing in you, you don't have to ask God what to do.
Amen.
You don't have to ask him, is this right or wrong?
Yes.
This is so crucial for people to understand. God, that everyone would receive the light of this information, that you cannot continue to live by good and evil, by judgment, by criticism, by condemnation, and make it into living the reality of the kingdom today. Yet you can't stop your judgment, because that again is a performance.
Yes.
It does you no good to try to do any of that stuff. Believe me, many of you know, for 13 years I tried everything I could possibly do. But the key is to have the awakening, the unveiling, the quickening of the Spirit of God in you, and then learn to follow that and not anything outside of you.
Yes. Amen.
I can promise you, there's no God outside of you that's coming to do anything for you.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
It's all been done.
Yes, amen.
But we're afraid of it. I said yesterday that one of the greatest fears we have is being what we know we should be.
Yes.
Because we don't think we can. We keep a veil over our face.
Yes.
Hiding behind the veil of the flesh.
Yes.
Because if you dare say the truth of your being, somebody's going to think you're arrogant and prideful. And so you hide. And the more you hide, the less reality you will have. But we all, with an open or an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. If you stand before a mirror and you gaze into a mirror, what do you see? If you really understand and have an enlightening about what you're looking at, you are looking at Christ.
Amen.
And we with an unveiled face beholding and reflecting. So I say our mirror, at least my mirror, is the life of Jesus. That's my mirror. And the more I look into him, the more I read his words, the more I meditate in his actions, I become transformed from glory unto glory, day by day, moment by moment, week by week. And I begin to awaken to the truth of my being. I know we shouldn't go out and boast about who we are, and That's not necessary. Once you come into the understanding of who you are, you don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to say anything. The best example I had of that was back in the 70s. I worked as a receiving inspector for the space shuttle at Edwards Air Force Base. You talk about working amongst a bunch of heathens. But you see, if you go into an area like that, or you're working like that, and you begin to judge them that way, I just work with a bunch of heathens. You're never going to help anybody. I never even tried to preach to those people except one time. There was one person there that I really, really thought a lot of. And so I mentioned to him about Jesus. And he almost hit me. He said, if there is such a God, if I ever see him, I'll cuss him out for the way he's managed this world. And I never said anything to anybody. But I was there 6 years. And every morning, I would go to that hangar at least an hour early. And I would just seek God. Pray in the spirit and seek God. Sometimes weep over the place. And after a few years, I don't know exactly how long, but it was at least 2 or 3 years of doing that, people just began to open to me. And this guy that almost hit me, he said to me, Gary, you're the only person I've ever met that talked about Jesus that I saw it in your actions.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So you don't have to say anything, but just don't hide behind your human nature. Just realize that you can't do anything. I can't do anything. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from among the dead dwell in you, then he that raised up Christ from among the dead also give life, shall quicken, shall raise you up as a testimony unto him. I added a little bit to that, but Jesus said a lot. I often tell people, because I did this, if you would just read the red and realize that is your mirror. That's not just Jesus, that's you. That's you. That's your mirror. That's your reflection. You look at what he did. You watch how he ministered to people. How some of them were healed just by touching the hem of his garment. That's you. Everything of the Spirit comes naturally.
Yes.
Without effort. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, you see, we haven't lost our flavor. We've never had it. As long as we're sleepwalking in this dense, physical, carnal world. Brother, you tell me I can influence the world? Yes, you can, but you have to come out from behind the veil. You have to quit putting the veil over your face and realize the truth of your being. I am here that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
But you hide behind the veil. You hide behind the weaknesses of the flesh.
Yes.
You hide behind your inability to do that which you know you should do.
Yes.
But there's another truth. There's a truth of your being. And I can't say it enough. I don't care what you're doing that's wrong. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how what you would call sinful you are. Doesn't change who you are. You are a son and daughter of God.
Amen.
And have come here for a purpose. In this age that we're in, you're in the most glorious place that you could ever be in, because we are at the time when the age is changing again. Just as the age changed from the law to grace, changed from Moses to Jesus, we're in that transition again today, but it's much greater than it's ever been. Because now we don't have a man named Jesus walking on the earth. We have a corporate group, a corporate body on the earth today. They're shaking themselves from the dust of the earth, as it was prophesied in Daniel. Many shall arise from the dust of the earth, turn many to righteousness, and shine as the stars of heaven. That's you, and that's why you're here. You're not here to be a monk or a preacher or a priest or a holy man. You're simply here to release and to flow with the life that's really life. Matthew 5 again. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." What are you going to do with that? You're either going to begin to accept it, even though you don't experience it. You're going to be able to, like I did, say, "God, how can this be? How can I, when I can't even do the slightest things for you, how could I be the light of the world?" And one day I heard this: "You don't believe me." I said, "Yes, I do. You know I believe you. I study your words all the time. I don't believe them." He said, "You don't believe them." He said, "If you believe my word, you wouldn't be saying all the stuff you're saying. You wouldn't be saying how weak you are and how unable you are to fulfill my purpose. You wouldn't be saying how weak, and you wouldn't be saying things like you do." Because I used to say, "God, when you come back, I'll be smoking a cigarette because I know I'll never quit." He said, "If you believed me, you would not talk like that." Yes. I'll tell you, that changed my life.
Yes.
You speak what you believe in your heart. That's all you have to do. If you never pick up a Bible, if you never go to church, it's not a matter. Those things are wonderful. I absolutely love the scripture. I'm in the scripture all the time. But I also have awakened enough to know that the scriptures have been twisted. And there's things put in there to keep you in bondage and darkness. And that's why I say, if you believe the scriptures is the infallible word of God, you'll always be in darkness.
Yes.
Without divine intervention. You are the light of the world. And you see, I know how this sounds, but I know this. I don't just believe I'm the light of the world. I know I am.
Yes.
And so just the fact that sometimes I walk in a home without saying a word, it affects the atmosphere.
That's right.
I know that. And I don't go around saying that. I say that in places like this to help people lift the veil from their eyes. Men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. And that's what we've done. We hide behind the veil of the flesh. And it's mostly because of fear. What will people think of me if I start really talking the truth? What do people think of me If I try to share with him the Bible's not the word of God? And it is not. It can be to you. But to just read it and blindly accept that's the word of God will keep you in darkness. Especially the Old Testament. Even some of the things Paul said has caused more persecution among a certain class of people than any other that's ever been on the earth. People have asked me, "Brother, what do you think Paul would say today?" Speaking about gay people. Our Bible tells us what happens to gay people. I'll tell you the truth. Paul did not walk. He was probably one of the most enlightened men of his day on the planet, but he did not walk in the full light and reality of the love, the unconditional love and presence of God. And I said, if Paul was here today, he would repent for what he said about gay people. You got to quit judging by the pointing of the finger. You have to realize everyone that you see has come here and is just as valuable as anyone. They might not be doing things that are right, but again, until you can see clearly, everyone that you meet, everyone that you see is a manifestation of that life and love. They may not know it. You know, Moses asked God one time, what is your name? And what did he hear? I am that I am. I am. Two of the most powerful words that you can ever say once you realize the value of those words. And what do? We say, I'm sick. I am weak.
Yes.
I'm just so miserable. I'm so tired. I mean, I still do it. I'm not trying to put myself above anybody, because I'm still learning this too.
Yes.
I'm still waking up
all
the time. Here's what I learned to do. If I see a prostitute on the street now, this is what comes up from within me. I am that. No matter who I see or what they're doing, that's the response. I am that. And all they need is a word. All they need is someone with the compassion and the love to see beyond their faults.
Amen.
We used to sing that song. He looked beyond my faults and he saw my need.
Yes.
Well, that's what we need to do.
Yes.
And that's what we will do as we awaken to the truth. So I don't see gays and prostitutes and drunkards and I don't see good people. I see I am that I am. City that is set on a hill can't be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick, so it gives light unto all that are in the house. Listen, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And it's, again, we don't go around telling everybody how wonderful and how good we are. But once you begin to accept the truth of your being, you don't have to say anything.
Amen.
We do realize that as a carnal human being, we can't do anything. But we just let the Spirit flow from our being. Don't veil yourself again. Matthew chapter 6 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore, I know you all are familiar with these verses, if therefore thy eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. What in the world does it mean to have a single eye? I just told you. To have a single eye is to see only Christ. Christ in you, and Christ in you, and Christ in you. You look beyond the flesh, and you target the need. They just need to be stirred and woken up. I used to set for long time and played that song over and over and over. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. I felt so blessed because so many people around me were so condemned, and you know, I'm talking about Christians, because they couldn't live up. And I wasn't living up to it either, and I was miserable. But I always felt the love of the Father, always, no matter how bad I was. And because there were certain things spoken to my inner being that let me know that my future was secure. That I would be, as the book of Revelation says, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, everything in heaven, everything in the earth, and everything under the earth, I heard giving praise to God. And I was convinced by the Spirit that that was my future. And we all need to hear. And you could say, well, why do you hear things like that and I don't? It's like I said, I don't know, Friday or Saturday. The only thing it's going to cost you to come into this experience, it's a very small price to pay to experience the glories of the kingdom today. And it's just time. That's all you need. Just spend some time. It doesn't even have to be a lot of time. Spend some time every day just open your being. I used to do that sometimes for an hour or more in the mornings and just sit with an open heart and ask to be guided. I ask for wisdom. I never did anything outwardly. It was all a matter of learning how to contact Christ within me. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You will never get, I don't think, a clearer illustration of oneness than that those verses. Can the branch be any different than the vine? The same life that flows in the branch flows in the vine.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no separation. The branch doesn't do anything, it just abides, it just sits in the vine.
Yes.
And the nourishment, the life-sustaining force from the vine supports every need of the branch.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important for us to take the time to be awakened, because once you're awakened and you know that everything that love is, which is God, everything that love is flows in your being. Everything. I can't think of one thing the vine would need to do or even believe. The vine doesn't even need to believe. It just is. It just receives. It's so simple. Yet because of our carnality and our human thinking and our consciousness darkened to the truth of our being, we make it difficult and hard trying to be something that we already are.
Yes.
You just abide. You say, well, how do I abide? Well, first of all, you have to not only know, but you have to experience a truth. And then your life begins to flow and you don't try to manipulate. You don't have to ask for anything. I've said this many times. Carol and I have been married 33 years today. At least since then, I have never asked God for anything. I just haven't. Why is that? Because the reality flows in me that the vine takes care of the branch. And we can tell you, Carol and I can tell you, experience after experience after experience of doing the impossible, because we don't try to make anything happen. We don't try to work out. We just flow with the life that's in the vine. Like I said yesterday, I used to just cry over this. Even back in the 80s when I pastored the church, I would just weep because I had such a life that was unbelievably wonderful, yet I didn't know how to express it. I didn't know how, at that time, I didn't know how I got it. And I would weep. I mean, spiritual things, when you begin to verbalize them, it really lowers their value because it really can't be expressed adequately. The greatest mystery in the world is the mystery of who am I? That's a great mystery to most of us. Who am I? Because religion will tell you were born a human, you were born in sin, and you're raised with this inferiority complex. I had such an inferiority complex that I couldn't even speak when I was around people that I didn't know. I was so withdrawn. And when I began to go to church, I couldn't function at all. I was just so unbelievably withdrawn within myself. I've canceled. When I started ministering, I used to cancel meetings because I would get scared. And I didn't have anything to say. And I'd cancel meetings. But today, you can put me before thousands of people and there'll be no inferiority at all. None. You see, we've heard for years that Jesus changes lives, yet we've still sat behind the veil saying, I can't. I want to, but I can't. So that's why we need the time. You don't have to do anything to try to change your life. You just don't. Because the seed, you put a seed in the ground. It gets the water, the sun, the nourishment from the soil, and it just grows. It's a miracle. We don't know how it works. But your spiritual life is the same way. You don't have to figure out how it's going to work. But yet, I'm sure we've all done that. I did it for years, trying to figure out what do I need to do to maintain and to increase this life within me, until I realized I was just a branch of the vine. You are not human. Again, you are spiritual. You remember when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Peter ended up by saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus made a remarkable statement after that we haven't really understood. He said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. What is the rock? Well, the Catholics said it was Peter. They were going to build the church on Peter. What Jesus meant by that, because Peter saw through his humanity,
yes,
he saw through the flesh,
yes,
And he saw the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock of revelation will I build my church.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The revelation that you build the church on is Christ in humanity.
That's right.
If you don't see Christ in all, you can't help them. You'll see the prostitute. You'll see the thief and the drunkard and the addict. But if you see Christ, you see sons and daughters of God. Thou art the Christ. Just imagine if you can, if you're not there yet, just imagine if you can, what it would be like to have Jesus walk the earth again. Most people in Christian circles are waiting for him to come back again, to save them again, to kill all their enemies again, to lift the righteous up in the heavens while he destroys and maims and kills the rest of humanity through 7 years of tribulation. That's the God of Christianity. I have said for years that God that you believe in and worship of Christianity is just as much a false idol of as any other God you can conjure up in your mind. Because the God you have in your mind is not God either.
Nope.
That's why I've been doing my best not to use that word God anymore. Because when I say God, you're going to think of your concept of God.
Yes.
And your concept of God. But if I take that word God aside and I say love.
Yes.
That's my God, unconditional love. And to have that love flow through your being is the greatest joy on earth. Here's another verse that can shed some light on who you are. Jesus said, no man has ascended to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
Yes.
So what was he saying? I'm standing here in front of you. I came out of heaven. No man can go back to heaven except he that came down from heaven.
Yes.
You need to apply that to yourself.
Yes.
Where did you come from? Most Christians still think they come from their mom and dad. Well, your body did. But remember what I said yesterday, Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, but a son is given.
Amen.
Yes.
Sons and daughters are not born. They are given from the realms of glory. So your parents had a child, but they were given a son or daughter from the heavenly realms.
That's true.
So because we came out of heaven,
yes,
according to what Jesus says here, no man ascends up to heaven except he that comes down from heaven, even the Son which is in heaven. Now let me share this with you. The purpose for you being here is incarnation. And at this time, for most of us, there's just a small part of our being that is conscious of living in this realm. You are much greater than you realize. Because as you're sitting here today, your full awareness is residing in that heavenly place. Now, that heavenly place is not a planet. It's a conscious awareness.
Amen.
Once you become fully conscious, and that's the path that we are on, we are becoming fully conscious beings. Once that happens, everything that you are in that heavenly conscious realm is right at this time infiltrating into your consciousness. It's happening quickly now. People said in meetings like this, and sometimes the next day they'll say, I can't believe what is happening with me. Paul told the Ephesians this, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Remember that?
Yes.
You really are.
Yes.
But you're being incarnated into this physical realm. Religion always deals with the man who believes he's human. And that's what they want you to believe.
Yes.
That's why they have all the rules, the regulations, the cans and the can'ts. Religion lives from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As long as you are religious, as long as you are living by good and evil, you see, good is on that tree too.
Yeah.
Don't live by good, don't live by evil. What does that really mean? It means stop judging. Stop classifying things as good and evil. And see Christ. See with a single eye. Because it doesn't matter what they're doing. Even God doesn't condemn them for what they're doing. As you know, one of my favorite verses is, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not holding them accountable for their sin. Why? Because he knows the truth of your being.
Yes.
He knows you're not a sinner.
Yes.
Religion will have to keep you in a state of unworthiness, striving to be better, collecting your finances to keep them going.
Amen.
Do you really think if God needs you to do something, you have to go out and raise the money to do it? Now, I know that's what religion teaches you, but I'm here to tell you, we have never done anything that we're told to do without the finances to do it. Because, again, life flows from your innermost being.
Yes.
If you need $1,000, it's going to come to you. It's just going to come. There was a time back in about 98, 99, 97, when our ministry was very, very popular. And we had a minimum of $6,000, sometimes $10,000 a month coming into our ministry. And people used to ask me then, you never ask for an offering. How do you do it? And I said, well, I can't do it, but if God wants it done, it will be done. And they would say, well, what are you going to do if your finances dry up? I'd say, I just quit doing what I'm doing. That, to me, that's God telling me I don't need to do it.
Yeah.
And I've lived that way for years. Well, when I began to step outside the Christian box, when I was popular, we had a mailing list of 3,000 people. So naturally, there was a lot of money coming in. But I was shipping books. I was shipping like 4,000 books and 1,000 tapes a month to over 70 countries of the world. So the money that came in supplied that need that I had for materials and postage. And it was always there. And when our book requests got so, you know, they just unbelievably increased, we needed printing equipment. And I just needed it. I didn't ask God, please supply me. He knows what I need. But I was sitting next to a woman in a restaurant one day, and she asked me, she said, Gary, I really want to bless your ministry. And she said, I know you have a need, but I need to know what it is and how much. And I was kind of withdrawn because it was a lot. And I told her, I said, well, I need a book, what they call a booklet maker. You put your pages in this thing, and you push a button, and it collates all the pages. It staples them. It folds them over, and it cuts in. I mean, you come out with a perfect book, and it would do 1,000 an hour. And so I told her, that's really what we need. And she gave me a check to cover it. And that, with everything, we had over $100,000 worth of equipment we used for printing and never bought one item with our own money or even with ministry money. It was all supplied. But when I began to step outside the box and say some things that was not really popular with the kingdom movement that I was in at that time, I began to lose mailing list people. I began to lose support. And about 3 years ago, I've never even told this to anybody. It's the first time I've even mentioned it. I think it's been about 3 years ago, we didn't even have enough finances coming in to cover the postage on the CDs. We were doing a monthly CD. And so the last month that we sent out CDs didn't have the money to cover it. I canceled the mailing list. Didn't bother me a bit. It doesn't matter what you do. I mean, if you have what you need and you're happy and you're joyful, money's not the important thing. Life is a peace,
yes.
Joy,
amen.
Contentment. I was moved one time from a senior called senior pastor. I was pulled from that position and put upstairs in a church making tapes for the ministry. Didn't disturb me. It just didn't. That's the life that we all want. Isn't it nice to be content in whatever situation you find yourself in? I was told 3 years ago they were going to take one of my legs off. You see, I know nothing happens to you. Everything happens for you. Now, I don't even understand that, but I know I looked at it as another journey. This is another journey. I've been diagnosed with cancer. I mean, you can't believe some of the stuff that we've been through, but they can't steal your joy. They can't take anything away from you. So religion deals with the man who believes he's human, but the gospel will awaken and reveal the spiritual man, the truth of your being. And you receive this calling before you ever left the realms of glory. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We really need to have our eyes, spiritual eyes, open to these truths. Because when you really believe them, it's really revealed to you as truth. It's not according to our works. It's not according to being good or bad. It's not according to the only thing. It's according to the purpose and grace of God that called us to do what we're doing. You see, if we can get rid of the God in our mind, that's a real big step. Because he's not like you envision. There is no God out there who operates like a Santa Claus. There is not one thing you can do to influence God. That's why prayer, the way it is done religiously, I don't want you to misunderstand me, because I pray a lot. But if you think that you can pray to a God in the sky and have any influence ever over what he's going to do for you, you don't know who you are. I tried all that stuff. I got with a group of young men one night, and we fasted and we prayed all night. We had heard the scripture. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Well, anything is anything. So a bunch of us guys got together one night. We prayed and we fasted all night. And the next day we began to ask things in Jesus' name. Not a thing happened. Nothing. What's wrong with these teachings? It's because we don't understand spiritual truth. If you ask anything in Jesus' name, it's to be standing in his character and nature, yes, and speak that which the Father puts on your heart.
Yes.
But just to see somebody, and I know how this sounds, but just to see somebody like a father, a mother, a child, and then begin to beg God to do something, you can't. You cannot influence God. I'm not saying that's wrong, but you cannot influence God. God is like the air that you breathe. He's available, he's rich, and he's free. And once you begin to walk in that reality, you'll know that the only thing you need is to do what you hear or what you see the Father do. You see, it makes the Christian life so easy. I used to spend a minimum, when Carol and I were first married, a minimum of 8 hours every Saturday praying all over the world for things. I would go in my room on Saturday morning, I'd say, I'm not taking phone calls, the day is with me and the Lord. At that time, I thought that my prayers would influence God to do something. You talk about a child. That's a little child. And then I tried to pull the demons out of the airwaves. Prayer is a wonderful thing if you understand prayer. And it's simply to speak that which God puts on your heart to speak. He puts it on your heart to speak. You don't pray to him to do something. You do what you're here to do. I often think of what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, I know that within me, in my flesh, there's a no good thing. But then he came to the point in his life and ministry where he could say, it is no longer I, it's Christ. And also getting back to Peter to show you that we all operate from, at one moment we'll be in the spirit, next moment we'll be in the flesh. When Peter said, thou art the Christ of the Son of God, thou art Christ, the Son of God, just a few verses later, Jesus begins to tell them about he's going to the cross or whatever, that's his fate. And Peter said, far be it from you, Lord. And then Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
So Peter had went from a great revelation in the Spirit to operating out of his carnality, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
Now, who do you think you are when you're operating out of your carnal mind and your flesh?
Satan, right?
You believe there's some big devil out there somewhere that's causing you all your problems. And it isn't. Just yourself. Just your carnality. So I'm going to close, but before I do, I just want to say that this weekend, the messages will all be on my website, probably not tomorrow, but before the end of the week anyway. And my website is just my name, Sigler, SIGLER.org. And there's probably close to 200 audio messages there. Everything I've ever written is on there. And you don't have to pay a dime to listen or to read it. Just enjoy it. Amen. Pastor. Amen.
All messages are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, however, you may distribute them freely.